Hey, everybody. I just got married. And if you're wondering who I married and what we have in common, what's going on, we are re-airing a fun episode I had with my wife, Erica Kirk. If you want to give us a wedding gift, charliekirk.com/support is the place to do it. Or you can go to proclaimstreetwear.com and support Erica's venture. This is brought to you advertiser-free bonus episode. Our team said, Charlie, we got to do this. I said, okay, buckle up. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to this episode of The Charlie Kirk Show. The best guest is here today.
Thank you.
My fiance.
Yes.
We are engaged.
We are engaged. I love saying it every day.
And we are super thrilled to do this episode.
We've had a lot of people ask us about this episode, to do something together sitting down.
World Meet Erica Francfe, who has an amazing podcast, Midweek Rise Up, and an incredible, let's say, fashion line that we're both wearing called Proclaim Streetwear. We'll get into that. But first, it's awesome to have you on.
Thank you for having me. I'm a longtime listener.
So, a lot of people have emailed us and they've asked us to do this. And some pretty big news that we had last week. And I just thought this would be fun.
I'm here for all of it. Here for all of it.
So we've been together for 2 years. And we met through a family friend.
Should we go through the whole story?
Why don't you tell the story?
Do you want to give the Spark Notes version or do you want to give...
We'll do the long form podcast version.
Long form podcast version. Okay. So you started Turning Point in 2012, right? So Trump's first rally in Arizona was when? And it was
The summer of 15.
Summer of 15. So I went with my mom. I was a Trump fan.
To a Trump rally.
To a Trump rally. His first one. And Tyler was there.
Tyler Boyer.
Yes, he was there with his wife, his beautiful wife and his kids. And he came up to me afterwards and he was like, hey, we're starting this, or we have this organization and we're starting it in Arizona. Would love for you to be a part of it. And it was one of those things where everything he said sounded super exciting, but I was getting ready to move to New York. And that was a season of life that I really prayed about. And it was something that I needed to move on towards. And so I said, thank you for all the information, but I am moving to Manhattan. And I was like, stay in touch. And we didn't really stay in touch all that much. And then I went to Israel. And what year was that?
That was
2 years ago?
2018.
2018.
That was May of 2018.
And that was the embassy
opening. So I happened to be there in Israel too.
And so I was on a pilgrimage with my mom in Israel. And it was our last day. And we were standing in the ticket line. And I remember just trying to deal with pulling together all of the documents and stuff at the ticket counter. And I turned around and I saw someone who looked super familiar, but I've never talked to them or met them before. And I looked at him and I was like, I turned over to my mom and I was like, he looks really familiar, and didn't say anything. And then came back home and got a message from Tyler from who I had met at the Trump rally. And he was saying, hey, you should come to Turning Point's office. We're having an office opening. We'd like to discuss with you about everything that we're doing with the faith component side of things. And yeah, we met at the office very briefly. Yeah. And that was you that was standing in line in Israel.
And then we went to Bill's Burgers in New York. Best burgers.
Oh my gosh. So then, do you want to tell that part?
You can tell it. They hear enough of me. It's all they hear is me.
Okay. So we get to Bill's Burgers, and I'm there thinking it's a business interview.
It started that way.
Right. So we sit down, and you grill me for, what, 3 hours?
Yeah.
Easily. On philosophy, politics.
Culture.
Religion, culture.
Economics.
Economics. What else? Everything else you can imagine, he grilled me. Anything he talks about on his podcast show, he grilled me on, pretty much.
Just didn't record it.
And then afterwards, he got finished with his burger and he just sat there and he looked at me and he's like, you know what? I'm not going to hire you. And I was like, that's fine. I don't need this job. I doing plenty of other things here in Manhattan. He was like, I'm going to date you. And you want to take it from there?
And you said you were kind of confused.
Of course I was confused.
Now, I was somewhat blunt. Mm-hmm. And how'd that make you feel? And I ask because people are trying to obviously compare this to their own life.
Mm-hmm. So what – how do I put this? I think we live in a day and age where dating is looked at as just this let's go out for drinks or let's go out for coffee. Let's get to know each other. Let's, you know, take it at the soul. And God knew I needed someone who was so assertive that was going to be like, no, this is what I want. We're going to pursue this dating very seriously and go from there. And so I think I was taken back by the fact that you were assertive and you knew what you wanted. But at the same time, it was something that I didn't even know I needed. And I was like, you know what? This is he's the guy. And I remember trying to process it on the walk home because I literally had to walk from Bill's Burgers. Was that 50th?
Right near Rockefeller Center. Yeah.
Right, all the way back to 30th and Madison, just trying to like
that's
process.
That's back when New York was
home.
A city.
Oh, and home for me. Mm-hmm. And I remember calling my mom and she was like, did you get the job? And I was like, no, but I got a boyfriend.
And I tell this to young men all the time. I say, you must be very direct. Because these young men, they rap-a-tap dance around the issue and they are never actually – and my not I shouldn't say never, but – far too often.
Yeah, I mean, don't be so direct where you are just
a jerk.
A jerk, but you can be assertive to the point where you're like, "Look, I don't want to hurt your feelings. I don't want to get my feelings hurt. I'm really serious about this, and I would like to pursue you in a very intentional manner."
So we've had 2 great years.
We have had 2 great years.
Done a lot of crazy things.
Mm-hmm. Traveled all over
Israel, London, Vienna.
Oh my gosh! Yeah.
And then, of course, all over the country and the election, which has been something. And so you've been working very hard on what we're wearing, your sweatshirt.
Yeah.
Proclaim streetwear. Mm-hmm. So tell everybody about that.
Right. So I started that 2.5 – well, let's see here. No longer than that. I started it, I guess 2.5, 3 years ago. So this is the relaunch of it. But – back in August of 2016, I was coming home from Boston, from New York, and I had a friend send me this video. I don't know. Did you ever see it? It's the video on YouTube where this guy, this homeless guy, is sitting on the subway freezing, and someone else on the subway sees him and puts –
I think
walks
you,
over,
I might have saw it.
Yeah, walks over to him, puts on him, the freezing man, his sweatshirt and his T-shirt and clothes him and has zero dialogue with the homeless man. And to me, it just showed how powerful it is, how your actions speak more than your words. And so for me, I was in and out of sleep on that train, and Isaiah 61 kept being talked about in my dream. And so when I woke up, I read Isaiah 61, and it was just beautiful. It was so powerful. And like most times when you read scripture, you're like, this is beautiful. I'll, you know, live it out, but what am I, you know, I'll go about my day. So then it wasn't until my grandfather had passed away in October of that year that I came across really the mission and purpose of Proclaim Streetwear. And I love my grandparents. You know that both of us do. We've always had a soft spot in our heart for our grandparents. And so when he passed away, to cope with that, he passed away at 3:11 p.m. And I went through every single Bible verse of chapter 3, verse 11, and came across Luke chapter 3, verse 11 that says, if you have 2 shirts, give the second one away to someone in need. And that's a paraphrase. But long story short, I started to pay attention more to the unnoticed in the city of Manhattan. And all these people on the streets during the colder seasons who didn't have really anything. I mean, they had a T-shirt or, you know, a blanket or a comforter to keep them warm, but a lot of them are just on the streets freezing. And I remember even just taking pictures on my phone to just remind me of either where they were on the cross street so I could bring them something if I passed them again, or just to be able to use that as fuel and as a drive to continue to push towards getting Proclaim going. And so I was like, this is the mission. Isaiah 61 and Luke 3:11 blended together. So that's Proclaim Streetwear. And with this, it's purpose driven. So every item has a certain give back component attached to it. So you're wearing the sweatshirt. And the sweatshirt.
Very nice.
Yeah, it's amazing.
So it's all made in America.
That's the one thing I would not compromise on is the fact that
some people
that it's
told
made.
You not to.
They did. I had mentors in the fashion industry that said,
make
America.
It in Wuhan, right? That's what they said.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think really anything good comes out of Wuhan.
But they said go make it in China. But
they did.
This is made in America.
So it's made in L.A. And then our other items are made in Manhattan. But everything – that's something I just would not compromise on was making it in the States. I believe you invest in what you believe in. And to me, that's the American seamstress, the American worker, the American mill and fabric owner.
And you could tell just from the quality. It's much higher than – that nonsense we import from overseas.
Like Gildan and all the
blank the textile
brands.
Stuff. Right. And so it's all ethically sourced.
Mm-hmm. Right? Sustainably made.
It's bamboo.
So no, that's not – the T-shirts are bamboo. Oh. So each item is purpose driven. So for the sweatshirts, when you purchase a sweatshirt, you're given the option of accepting the second sweatshirt as a gift and you taking it upon yourself to go gift it to someone in need on the streets during the winter season, someone who's cold that you see needs something or someone that you feel like you can interact with. And it's up to you to proclaim to them whatever God has placed on your heart, whether that's anything about Jesus, whether that's anything about scripture. But we are a Christian clothing line, and that's something that we are unapologetically very proud of. And so if you decide not to pass out your second sweatshirt, the Proclaim Street team does it for you. And we had several outings in Manhattan over the past few years prior to COVID, and it was so powerful to witness just everyone out there handing out the sweatshirts and being able to talk to people.
And it's proclaimstreetwear.com.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's where people can go.
Yeah. So,
and you've had a great launch.
The launch has been unbelievable. And that's all glory to God. But I'm like you. We've talked about this all the time. We don't believe in having our faith just be in certain boxes. Like, we really want to be able to live out our faith boldly. And, you know, especially when it comes to culture, you can't transform culture without Christ.
So everyone should check out ProclaimStreetwear.com. You also – you're getting your doctorate from Liberty.
I am. Mm-hmm.
You already have your Juris Master.
I have all the college degrees, so you never have to go to school.
You have them all for me.
I do. We're a team. And same team.
You were Miss Arizona.
Mm-hmm. I sometimes leave that off my resume, but
well,
yeah.
I include it.
Thank you.
So a lot of young people say, what advice do you have for dating and relationships?
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of different ways we can go that way. But mm-hmm. what's on your heart with that?
Gosh. I think a lot of people get frustrated with the season of waiting, and I think that something's so powerful to be able to be in that season of really letting God mold your heart and mold you into the man or woman that he needs you to be for your spouse. And sometimes we rush that, but I think seasons are so important, and every second that you live your life is connected to a season, but a season is not your whole lifetime period. And I think that having just that intentional time with God to be able to just stay focused in the Word, to literally pursue what he has placed on your heart, he knows who you're supposed to be with. And mm-hmm. I think when we rush that and we put our faith in algorithms like Bumble and what are the other ones? I've never been
Tinder.
On an app before, Tinder. All those apps, you are just constantly swiping. And I saw that whole hookup culture in New York because I've had friends that lived it. And it's exhausting, and I feel bad for people who go on these dates and then they're so excited, they get fully invested into someone, and then they totally get ghosted. And it's heartbreaking, and it makes people question, okay, am I not the right person? Do I need to change myself? Do I need to say things differently? So it's just – it's one of mm-hmm. those things where I think having that waiting period of you know, I guess you could say – fueling yourself with things that make you a better person and focusing yeah. on doing things for the kingdom. And you just keep running your race and running your path, and God will line up someone next to you that's running alongside of you, not someone who's going to take you off track, but someone who keeps you focused on him and doesn't detract your attention from that.
Young men ask me all the time, they say, well, how do I find somebody? How do I find somebody?
Mm-hmm.
And how do I find a Christian, you know, woman? And young ladies asked the same thing to you and to us, and the I think patience is a great answer, but also you have to prepare yourself as if the next conversation you might have might be the person. Are you the person that you actually think is the most likely to be someone worthy of being attracted to, right? And so I think that they're young men almost feel entitled to a relationship at times, and I can speak at least from the young male side.
What do you mean by like entitled to?
I would say that a lot of young men don't have their life together. Mm-hmm. They don't have – they are lacking responsibility in their mm-hmm. life. They're lacking direction. And I think a lot of young women, they don't necessarily need an Instagram model. Mm-hmm. They want someone who is willing to take responsibility for difficulty mm-hmm. and to go through uncertainty and the unknown mm-hmm. and to tell the truth and to be committed to – those ideals,
right.
Where I think there's a culture that's been created of young men that basically are afraid of responsibility and they just want the gratification yeah. without it. And then there's another whole segment of women that basically, because of the hyperfeminization of everything, become almost the male figure in the relationship.
Right.
I think that's very dangerous.
Well, I'm a strong female. And you know that, but I also – and I have full respect for other alpha females out there, but there is a time and a place to be an alpha female. And when you're in a relationship, you are not in competition with your other half, and you're not in competition with them from the standpoint of who's in charge.
So how do you talk to boss babes out there that are like,
I'm never
going to be able to find a man?
They need to – first of all, humility is huge in that standpoint, but second of all – the whole boss babe culture is so toxic. It's so toxic. And it even talks about in scripture how two oxen can carry a heavier load. You cannot do it all by yourself. And for women out there who think they don't need a man or don't think they need someone to help them pursue further in life or to have a more complete
fulfillment
of themselves, I have seen it firsthand living in Manhattan where women who are in their late 30s, early 40s, their life was their career. And there's nothing wrong with that because my mom was a career-oriented woman and career-oriented mom. But you sacrifice a lot of things. And then by the time you're in your 40s, you're bitter, you're frustrated, you feel like you missed out, and you feel like you are behind the curve. And then you're just tainted. But from a boss babe culture, it forces women to feel like they all need to be entrepreneurs. And they're not. Not everyone is meant to be an entrepreneur. We all have a specific role. But that's why I think so many women get frustrated as they look on social media and they're like, oh, this person has their own business.
Company.
Right. Or they're selling shampoo or they're a multi-level marketing genius or whatever. But it's one of those things where our God is a God of order. And there's a reason why there is a husband and a wife, and there's a reason why there's a family, and there's a reason why there's certain things you're supposed to do beforehand before you get married, and there are things that you're not supposed to do before you get married, which is saved for marriage itself. And I think that goes for dating too. You're not supposed to treat your boyfriend or your girlfriend like your fiance or like your husband. You set boundaries, and you really are able to then say, okay, he is in charge of XYZ in our relationship. I am in charge of the other side of that. And I know that a lot of women who are strong, they're very strong personality females, you have to also give your other half, your counterpart, your male companion, the respect they deserve.
And I think men have to be worthy of that respect.
They do, absolutely.
And that it feeds into itself. So women say, you're not worthy of my respect. I'm going to become the man.
Mm-hmm.
So you have these hyper-masculine women in their early 30s
mm-hmm.
that are quite honestly miserable
but
in relationships.
Right, but it doesn't start like that. I feel like women just – they keep tapping away until the mm-hmm. guy completely breaks down and he's like, look, you do whatever you want to do.
Or they just disengage. Or they become a feminine man.
Right.
New York is full of them.
Yeah.
It's of these men that kind of – take a backseat role
mm-hmm.
to a much more boss babe type woman.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't think that works.
I mean, obviously I don't either, considering who I'm dating.
However, that doesn't mean that.
Or who I'm engaged to.
That doesn't mean women can't succeed and flourish.
No.
And invest and grow.
I think it's very important that women have their own, whether that's a career or they're invested in something or they're invested in something outside of the household, whether that's volunteering your time, whether that's having your own company, whether that's homeschooling your kids. I think we all have our own lane mm-hmm. and position to play within the relationship.
Well, what bothers you the most when you look at – you kind of touched on this, but the dating landscape when you look at it?
So for me, I just hate wasting time. That's my biggest thing. I never had short relationships. My relationships were always either – they were longer. But for me, it's one of those things where I'm not going to waste my time just going out to dinner just for a free dinner. I think that's so tacky. I think it's tacky that you are stringing someone along because you're afraid of being alone. That just never resonated with me.
Mm-hmm.
And I just knew that there was no reason for me to compromise. And the thing that drives me nuts too is when you ask someone who they're dating or who they're wanting to marry, they have this list. But I don't know if you had a list. I didn't have a list. But like I know some people who have a list that is easily 30 items long.
Like they're building a teddy bear.
100%.
Build-A-Bear.
Right. They need to be 6'5". They need to be XYZ. Right. Like all these things. And you just you literally are looking at them like, are you trying to create a Sims player? Like there's no way you're going to be able to – see, there's certain things you need to compromise on and be realistic with. And God has prepared for you someone who is amazing and someone who is worthy of your heart and your love. And why would you want to forfeit that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's people that are emailing us a lot and they say – you know, I have given up all hope. Mm-hmm. I'm never going to find anyone.
Right.
You know, what can I possibly do? And again, I think that before looking outward and getting bitter, you should look inward mm-hmm. and try and say, how am I going to prove myself worthy of actually wanting to be with somebody? At least that's on the male side. I don't think that – I don't know if it's necessarily
– Well, and how would you recommend them looking inward?
On the male?
Yeah.
Stop doing addictive things that make you – less likely to be productive.
Okay.
So chemically addictive,
mm-hmm.
Obviously substances. And for men, I think it's a different issue because the young men have been beat down so much.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that women are being pushed into positions that they're not actually always comfortable with. I think there's some young ladies that literally just – I don't want to say literally just, but they want to become mm-hmm. a mother and a wife, but they feel that's not the right thing to do at age 24, mm-hmm. 25. Why not?
Right.
That's okay.
Right.
And well, I have to go work at some awful company in San Francisco for a couple of years. Why?
Mm-hmm.
And then they start to realize that it's actually a lot harder to find somebody worthwhile to go build a family or go do
well,
that.
And in those cities especially, that's the hardest thing.
Yeah.
It's like in those types of cities, it's not like you can just run into someone. So a lot of those people that do go to those big cities hope to find someone in the church. And that's where it gets kind of messy because when you go to a Bible study mm-hmm. that's co-ed and people are single, everyone's just like sniffing each other. Like, are you single? Are you single? You want to go get coffee? And it's just that weird tiptoeing around.
It's really not a Bible study.
No. Not at all, which is unfortunate. And that's for a whole nother topic at another time. But I think there becomes almost this desperation of I'm running out of time. And I think people forget that God is the author of time. And he mm-hmm. knows exactly when you need to find that person and when you need to settle down and where you need to be. And I think that for me, that's one of the most precious things is having that relationship with Christ, knowing, okay, where am I supposed to be at this time? Where am I supposed to be living? You know, what am I supposed to be doing to further the kingdom and really being vulnerable and open to making sure that you stay within the confines of God's will and living a life that's glorifying to him.
We're super excited.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a very exciting chapter despite all the nonsense happening in our country and the world.
What is the one question that you're annoyed of getting?
Well, when is the wedding?
That drives me nuts.
We just got engaged.
We just got engaged.
I can't I can't go to Wendy's, let alone host a wedding.
We don't even know what time we're leaving the office, let alone.
how am I supposed to host a wedding? I can't have eight people over for Thanksgiving.
Plus, I'm not a huge wedding person.
That's unusual for women. Usually their entire life centers around the wedding.
Planning a wedding since they were five. That's not me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that question.
That
is,
question.
I mean, and then it's just timeline. It's just kind of.
Timeline, yeah. But figuring it all out. I think for me, it's people saying, like, let me see the ring.
Yeah.
It drives me nuts.
That's definitely a common question.
It's
right?
So, and I get it, and I respect it because there's a lot of people who are excited about seeing, you know, the. But to me, it was always so tacky when girls would take a photo.
I'm so excited and engaged.
With their hand in front of their face, right?
I'm so excited.
Or they'll put their hand out.
It's just a picture of their hand.
Right, and then the man is blurred in the background. We talk about like disenfranchised men. But
it's
no.
Like, I'm so sad I'm engaged. Just look at this. Look at it. Look at it again.
Keep looking.
I know. Jeez. Oh, my gosh.
Burn your retinas. But no, it's one of those things where it just – I don't find – the most important thing to me out of all of this is that this is a covenant that you and I mm-hmm. are making with God. And that is where I want the focus to remain, whether that's with us or everyone else that sees us from the outside. It's not – you could have literally have gotten me a piece of thread.
String?
Yes. A ring pop.
But that's advice to men is don't go cheap on the ring. It's true. It has to – you have to be invested.
What is the statistic? It's – what do they say the percentage of your
– It's supposed to be 1 month salary. I think that's right. Yeah.
I don't know.
This was fun.
I'm so proud of you.
Oh, thank you.
I really am. You're doing great with your show. And congratulations on your radio show, too.
It's nice to have a fan.
I am a huge fan. Huge supporter.
People can check out your podcast, mm-hmm. Midweek Rise Up.
Mm-hmm.
Proclaim Streetwear.
Mm-hmm.
And for men out there that are like, should I ask her? Should I not? Yes, you should.
Pray on it first.
Of course.
And if
but
you have
don't
a
force
piece,
it.
No, but if you have a piece about it,
yes.
then that's good.
And if you're nervous for the engagement, that's okay. Just make sure you're nervous about
you're not
the
nervous
process.
After.
If you're nervous after the engagement, you got real
then
problems.
Then there's something wrong.
I can tell you.
Yeah.
If you're nervous after the engagement, you got to disengage.
Right.
But if you're relieved after the engagement, then you're doing the right
then
thing.
You're good.
Because it's a big deal and you want
it's
the logistics
huge.
To go right. And I surprised you.
You did surprise me. We should tell that story real quick.
Tell the story.
Okay, so we were here at the studio shooting before the Proclaim Streetwear relaunch, and you scheduled with the photographer. You coordinated behind my back. I had no idea that you were doing this, and after the it was a total coup, but I loved every second of it. And after the final model left, I think you came up to me beforehand, and you were like, "We should take Christmas photos together."
It should have been your first warning sign. When have I ever
when
wanted to
When do we ever
pictures?
Want to take And so you dressed really nice for that. And so I brought a dress to make it look good for Christmas photos.
And you told me many moons earlier
mm-hmm.
that you said you wanted to make sure you had good pictures of the engagement.
Well, you asked me how would you want to be proposed to? I said, I don't know how I want to be proposed to, but I know what I don't want. And I don't want you to propose to me. And then
at a restaurant.
Yeah. And then I have to go into a room full of people.
You didn't want a restaurant. You didn't want a public place. You didn't
right.
want your family there.
No, because then afterwards you're like, everyone's, oh my gosh, I'm so excited. And you can't even process
the enormity.
It was so beautiful. And you did it so well. It was so intimate. I loved it. The pictures came out great.
Because then
was
you
super
have those
surprised.
Forever.
Yeah. I know. But
for young people out there, if you want to find meaning, find something worth taking responsibility for.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but. It's been a fun journey, fun ride.
It's just getting started.
Yeah. I'm grateful for you.
Thanks for joining the Charlie Kirk Show.
You're welcome. We should do this more often.
All right.
Any last words?
Well, not walking the plank. So.
You have no final words for your listeners as a cap off?
Thank you guys for listening, and please support Erica's fashion line.
That's sweet.
ProclaimStreetwear.com. See, they liked that. It's my live audience.
And subscribe to The Charlie Kirk Show.
That would help.
Let us beat the New York Times.
You know all of it.
I know all of it. Let us beat the New York Times. We're rising in the charts. We're surging in the charts.
Surging. And here
we
go. See? She knows all of it. Thank you, guys. God bless.